This is Pete Wilson on BBC Radio Gloucestershire, talking to Bill Hook, and we've been hearing about his Gloucester career. Bill, the thing about Gloucester in your day was that if you'd had a bad game, you probably had to go out into the local pubs in the evening and take the stick from the fans, didn't you? Whereas these days, the players just seem to disappear and fade away into the distance.
Yes, you didn't write to the citizen in those days. You had it from the fans, wherever you met them. I always remember breaking my shoulder twice playing it at King's Home, and before I got treatment at the hospital and went back to the shop at about 5:30, my wife, who was in the shop helping the other girls and ladies there, I had three other girls there, but she always went in when I was away to give a hand on a Saturday afternoon. She would already know that I'd broke my arm and that I was at the hospital because the fans had been in and they would say, oh, he had a bad day today. He only stayed for 20 minutes. He broke his arm. He went off. I don't know what's the matter. And you would already know. You had it direct from the fans, not via the citizen. They didn't write to the paper. They wrote to you.
And was it into the rugby level that you played at for Gloucester? Was there always the meal afterwards with the other side? Because in football and cricket you had your tea, but in football you didn't do that. But in rugby you always had a meal with the other side.
Always had a meal with the other side. A big thing in rugger football, the friendship that you made and still retain. My rugger friends are all over the country, in Gloucester and Gloucestershire and Northampton, with Don White, who just passed away about 12 months ago, dear Don White, and over the border into Wales with Cliff Morgan and Bledwyn Williams and Jackie Matthews, and these people, still friends today. Whenever we meet, it's as old-timers are apt to be, it's always back to the old days.
Well, I've been sitting at King's Home on occasions with Mickey Booth and Peter Ford and Mike Nichols behind me, and every move that happens, they relate it back to one that was similar about 40 years ago.
Absolutely, it's just how it is. I was at King's Home about 3 weeks ago with Bill Phillips, the Gloucester player. I suppose we're the oldest couple that's probably alive today. I think I'm the oldest, but of course Bill's older than me and some 7 or 8 years older than I am. We sat and watched the Bristol game, and it's surprising. As soon as we sat down, Bill said, doesn't the ground look small? I suppose the stands has made that effect on it, the big stand that we were sat in. It's made the ground look small. Of course it isn't, it's the same ground, but these things come back to you as an old player and when you sit there.
And you obviously were very, very good for Gloucester because you got picked for England. That must have been something really, really special.
Yes, there weren't many, as I can say, working chaps who played for England in those days. A big pull, and probably rightly so because they were probably fitter, was university chaps. And of course, playing in London, they would get seen more often than we people in the West Country would get seen. Selectors, I guess, most of them came from that area, and when they allocated themselves out on a Saturday, it was much easier to go to see Harlequins than it would be to come down to see Gloucester. I'm not sure about these facts, but probably for those reasons, we didn't get seen so much.
So tell me about the games you played. You had three caps for England, didn't you?
Yes. The first cap was against Scotland, the last game of 1 year, and the next game was Wales and South Africa. Not the easiest of games, but I enjoyed them. And
all at Twickenham?
All at Twickenham. I was very fortunate to play all at Twickenham. Some people who have played 20 times for England haven't played that many times at Twickenham. Just fortunate that they were home games.
And it's true to say that, I say you get three caps, you actually only get physically one cap, don't you? It's called three caps, but it's just one actually physical cap you get.
That's right. You only get the one cap. You can have dates, as I could have done for the next season, on them, but the modern player and the player in my day didn't wish this, because if you've ever seen a cap with all the dates on it, really spoils the cap. It doesn't look like an England cap with all these different dates on it, season 38, 39, or whatever it may be, 45, 46, or 62, 63, with all these added to the cap, it doesn't look...
And what year was it you played for England?
50-51.
Can you remember the other members of your team?
Yes, I could rattle them all off to you. Vic Roberts, Eric Evans, Kendall Carpenter was skipper, Dom White, Bob Sterling, Hardy and Shuttleworth, and many, many more. Yes, I could
name. And how many points did you score for England then?
That game we won 5-3, and I kicked the goal.
That was the Scotland game?
That was the Scotland game. I'm afraid we didn't win the other two, we lost them both. But we only lost them by 2 points, all of them. There was nothing in it, really. 8-6, 8-6.
So they were pretty low-scoring games in those days.
Well, they were in those days.
They must have been dour affairs.
No, they were in those days. Of course, things have changed. You get 5 points for a try now instead of 3, making the total 7 at the end. And, of course, if you're 10 points behind today, it's soon got back. With 7 points now, if you're leading by 12 or 14 points, it only needs a couple of tries and you're back in the game.
So did you go like the England players today and have a week sort of camp before you played, or did you just blow in there? It obviously wasn't.
No, you reported to Twickenham if you were lucky on the Wednesday. I didn't, my very first cap, unfortunately, I didn't go up on the Wednesday. I didn't go up till the Thursday because my wife had had a miscarriage, and I had to ring up and say, well, I'm very sorry, but I can't come for 24 hours late, but that was quite all right. Then we used to just have a run out on one of the London grounds. I can remember running out on Richmond, whichever ground was nearest your hotel, I guess. And you just have a run out for half an hour at the most, and that was it. I think today's system is much better, I must admit. I don't believe you can assemble chaps together as we were and expect them to perform as you would expect internationals to do when they don't know one another, barely know your name. You may have played against a lot of them, but there are probably some you hadn't even played against.
And you must be one of the few rugby players that's played rugby union at Villa Park, home of Aston Villa.
Yes, I played rugby at Aston Villa's ground for RI Scorers 15, who was the Lord Mayor of Birmingham at the time, and he was also on the English Rugby Union. He was also on the board of directors at Villa, and he wanted to put on a game for cancer charity. He tried to get the soccer players, but they wanted so much to insure them that he decided, well, I know the rugby players as well, I'm going to put on a rugby game. And of course he was able, because he was on the board at Villa as well, and the Lord Mayor of Birmingham at that time, and he was able to put on this rugby game. And that was in April 1951, and it was his team, and they consisted of all internationals. I can name some of them: Ivor Priest, Jackson Jekyll, who played for Scotland many times, Alan Towell, and Gordon Rimmer, Stirling, Holmes, and Kendall Carpenter was a skipper. It was a great day, and we played North Midlands, who consisted of teams from Leicester, Coventry, and many more of these famous Midland sides. And it was a great success. There was a crowd of, if I remember rightly, 27,000, which was a good crowd, considering that it was an evening game.
And it must be very special for you, because you are a huge Aston Villa fan, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. The one team that I look for always, and so does my sons, and, well, my one son had shares in the Villa club, and he sold them about a year ago, and they did very well, he tells me. And he goes up, and the grandchildren are absolutely Villa mad. In their house, they've got Villa curtains in their bedrooms and Villa lampshades. Oh, they're crazy. They are crazy, the grandsons on Aston Villa. And I am too, because not because I played there. My father was the same. The only team he ever looked for was Aston Villa, and I'm about the same. I look for others, of course, but one of the teams I always look for first is Aston Villa. And I was very privileged, and still think it was a great privilege that I was able to play a rugger game on the Villa ground. And I pull their legs by saying it's the only decent game that's ever been played there. I know that's not true, but I pull the grandson's legs by telling them that. I have one grandson who is about 38. He works for Adidas, or Adidas, as you ever wish to pronounce it. And he is very fortunate. He'll be at the Olympics again. And just recently, he's come back from the last Lions tour. And he came back, and he calls in here about every couple of months. And while he was with the Lions, of course, a separate plane takes out all their kit. Many sets of jerseys and shorts and stockings and all this have to have a separate plane to take it out. And, of course, they provide the ties and blazers and what have you. And when they got out to New Zealand, Sir Clive Woodward handed out this kit to them all and gave Jamie a Lions tie. And Jamie said to Sir Clive, I don't think I'm entitled to wear this, but I know somebody that is. Who's that then, Jamie, says Sir Clive, and he says, my grandpa. Oh yes, what did he do? And he tells him about his grandpa, and Jamie came back here and handed presents out to my wife and everybody, and I thought, as one does, sat there, well, where's my present then? And don't worry, grandpa, I've got your present. And he went into another room and came back, he'd added his a Lions tie, so he gave me a Lions tie from this last time.
Fantastic.
Yes, I'm very proud of the grandchildren, particularly perhaps of James. I shouldn't say that. I know he isn't any more a favourite than the others, but he's really in the sporting world. He had a very interesting occasion when he went to the last Olympics. I said, did anything go wrong, Jamie? No, not really, Grandpa, he says. Oh, he said, I did have one little thing. I said, oh, what was that then? He said, well, of course, they're all measured for their kit before they go out, and it's all ready and everything, and et cetera, et cetera. On this morning, Kelly Holmes sends for me. Jamie said, I'll go into her bedroom and that, and she's got her shorts on. She said, these are a bit tight, Jamie. They're a bit tight around the bottoms of the legs. Could you get them altered for me? And this was in the morning, and she was running in her very first race in the evening. So I said, what did you do then, Jamie? She said, well, I found a seamstress in the town and got them shortened by, as she said, an inch and a half, and took them back to her, and she put them on. He said, and when she put them on, she said, lovely. She said, but I nearly had a fit. I said, why was that then? He said, well, the lady seamstress, in shortening them, had taken off the three stripes, the motif, on the bottom. He said, and oh, that was no good. So I had to rush them back and get the motif put back on the bottom.
Fantastic story.
Yeah.
What do you make of the game today, then, as against the game that you played? You've mentioned wearing the dancing slippers these days rather than the boots over your ankles.
Well, I have to be quite honest. They're much fitter. Taking the whole 15 as a whole, they're much faster. Not as individuals. I mean, we had people, well, I can think of England people like Obolensky and Gloucester wings like Kit Tanner and my brother and others who were extremely fast. But taking the whole 15, the players are faster as a whole. They're fitter. They do this weight training, they're more bulky. Better footballers, I doubt. I doubt whether they're better footballers. I would certainly have the Welsh team agree with me on this. I don't see many Cliff Morgans and Bredwyn Williams and
Barry Johns.
And Barry Johns and these people about today. And they were people who played in a time when all this training and that was not done. But I'm all in favour of it.
You mentioned Prince Obolensky. And I remember Digger Morris telling me how he took him out at King's Home in one game.
That's quite right. Obo broke clear at King's Home and he'd run about 40, 50 yards and he had Digger in front of him and he just went to the right of Digger and Digger stuck out his arm and caught him under the chin and Obo went straight down and the crowd got on to Digger because it was a bit high under the chin. Obo, I'm glad to say, was quite all right and he got up and he was quite all right. But it was a bit high. But I remember Digger saying afterwards, well, what do you expect me to do? Let him go by and chase him? I mean...
Bill, you're in retirement now. Are you just relaxing these days?
Yes. I think I've come to the age when I've just given up on Save the Children's Shop, where I worked 20-odd years after we closed my own shop. They got me to open the Save the Children's Shop. And with my wife and many other ladies and chaps I know, we work down there. But I'm no longer doing that, to be quite truthful. And it's very nice to think that I have a little bit more time to myself and to my wife. We go out a day a week or 2 days a week somewhere or other. And very nice to think that you can have a week's holiday when you want one and not have to book it up. And if you had your own business, you're never quite sure whether you're going to get away. Something might crop up at the last minute and you don't go.
Bill, thanks for talking to me. Great memories, great stories. You'll have stirred a lot of memories for people. I hope you have many, many more years for Joan and yourself to go ahead and join yourself. Thanks ever so much.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you to come along.